You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hard this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
Decent batch of things to select from. Overwhelming number of people in the shipping container. Tony, start us off. What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend? See if you can find a microphone over there.
The funniest thing from the sports weekend, Dan, is the refs in the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game. And the reason why they're the funniest thing ever, because it was an absolute joke, okay? Wow. That unsportsmanlike conduct that cost them the touchdown was egregious. Okay, it was the worst call I've ever seen on a football field ever. The joke is on the refs. That's the funniest thing from the sports week.
But the quote afterwards was funny. Sage Rosenfels tweeted afterwards that he was told by someone on the field that the refs told Iowa State coaching staff that the guy was taunted by the taunted the opposing team with his eyes. That's why he got it, with his eyes.
Give me a break.
The worst Monday fake Chris. Outrage I've ever heard by anyone, by Tony.
Well, he says it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Did you guys watch the play?
Yes, I know what he's talking about. So an Iowa
State can't be taking points
player
off the
board. It was a joke.
Was about to
with his eyes.
Score
his
a
eyes.
Touchdown, and he kind of high-stepped one time and looked back over his shoulder and was called for taunting, and they took away
it was
a touchdown.
Horrible, Dan. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Egregious.
You were very angry about it. You didn't tell people what you were talking about.
Exactly.
I thought I said exactly what I said.
Yeah,
but you didn't.
The
you
anger
did
say took the
said.
Words.
You left out the funny quote, which made me
exactly I didn't know who was angry, said. Which team it affected.
You did say exactly what you said. There's no disputing it.
Not pushing back on that notion.
Chris
Careful.
Cody.
He's
Chris,
enraged.
Chris, yeah. He is. And yeah. And you are questioning his rage. You're saying it's faux outrage.
It's not a venting session. We just laugh. It's a light one.
You were very angry about it. Yes. You were,
funny involved.
But that's in keeping with, 10-day Tony. He takes some things very seriously. There are some times where you can accuse him of...
Oh, don't bring that up.
Oh, turn it back on Dano. Playoff week. Some stuff coming out this week is going to be hot.
I've got a meeting with the Miami Heat after the show today.
Uh-oh.
10-day Tony's coming up.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
What's the meeting with the Miami Heat? After
I'm trying to get Tony a 10-day contract. That's what they think it's about something else.
Either
what
that,
it is for me is
the
10
old
day Tony.
Switch, huh?
Yeah.
If they say no to 10-day Tony, just let me and Tony play pig during halftime.
Yeah. I've been workshopping ideas and they all revolve around 10-day Tony.
Is the meeting about putting a restraining order on Ryan Cortez? Because
it might come up on their end. They might volunteer that.
That's actually my funniest thing is Ryan Cortez posting screenshots of Frank Iasola heckling him about the Heat.
The Iceman.
Whittingham, what is your funniest thing?
I don't think
thing?
Cortez actually likes the Heat.
What are you saying? Whoa, why are you accusing everyone of fraudulence?
I'm just saying, like, I was texting him one time in a preseason game, and he's like, these games don't matter, it's preseason. I'm like, whoa, culture guy over here doesn't watch preseason Heat games. What's going on? I think, honestly, a bit of it is an act.
Hmm.
I don't think so. He's unreasonable about how much he loves the Miami Heat. It's troubling. It's bothersome. But even he doesn't care about preseason basketball. Why would he? Whittingham, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The Kansas Radio Network. They announced when Kansas were up in the third quarter against Oklahoma. No tickets required. Anyone within the sound of our voices can come to the stadium. And there was a time lapse of people filling up the stadium. Kansas football promptly gave up 3 touchdowns in 7 football minutes.
They actually said, if you're in town, come on down.
Kansas was, I think they'd shut out Oklahoma at the half, or it was, they shut them down almost entirely.
I think it was 10-0 at half.
Among all the Kansas and Jamar Chase facts that I learned about this weekend across my timeline, I found out Jamar Chase was actually committed to Kansas football for 2 days. Yeah.
I'm positive that he committed to Les Miles and then realized Les Miles wasn't the coach at LSU anymore, so then he committed to LSU.
Billy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Taylor Heinicke doing a Lambo leap, and then they took the touchdown away, which, by the way, that rule's stupid, but whatever.
Which part of which rule
is
stupid?
Giving yourself up as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to score. That was obvious. That was a touchdown. No. I mean, come on. It wasn't touchdown. We don't. That's not.
It wasn't like he was sliding though. He was diving forward, right?
Yeah.
Like that rule applies. What you're talking about when they slide, they mark them back.
No, they change the rules. It's a whole thing.
Whittingham, isn't this in your sphere of outrage where you hate that guys are celebrating while they're being penalized or where there need to be reviews? And they didn't end up scoring, correct? They ended up being stopped at the goal line as well as they were that game 400 times.
Taylor Heinicke, another following in the footsteps of Kyler Murray. Every week, I'm telling you, penalty or a refereeing decision cancels out a touchdown. Mm-hmm.
Nullifies is the word that you were looking for.
Yeah, I was looking for nullify.
Where is the day where you can't find the word?
Jessica, look at how much delight Stugatz gets from that.
Oh, he's so upset.
I improvised, though. I came up with cancer.
I felt that pain. I know that feeling of like, what's that word I'm looking for? The.
I think people would be right to accuse you of being shook since mansplaining. Jessica, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Illinois and Penn State, my Fighting Illini,
this is unbelievable.
Going to 9 overtimes after college football changed the overtime rule so that this would never happen again. Neither team could score for like 7 overtimes, had to go for 2 every time, couldn't do it. First time I've ever been proud to be from the state of Illinois.
So bad.
18-20 final in 9 overtimes.
9 overtimes.
Amazing.
Mike Ryan, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
A couple got married at the West tailgate at Hard Rock Stadium before a Canes game. Yeah. And I'm pissed I wasn't invited. I should have officiated. I'm so mad. And as a Golden Cane, I did go to the Muni lot for a Browns game. And I tell you, the West parking lot at Hard Rock Stadium is wild. I think I'm going to hold that up against Ralph Wilson Stadium. I got to see that because Muni lot, I know it was a Thursday night game, can't really get up for Case Keenum, but oddly enough, I found a Miami-Dade County like official vehicle in the Muni lot. Weird how that happens, but Hard Rock Stadium, West 32, I'll stack that up against anybody.
I can't think of a less romantic place to get married.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard
West
Show.
32.
Is your wife the coolest if she marries you there?
We consummating in the porta potty?
Absolutely.
I mean, that is, I can't believe there's a wedding dress there. Was there a wedding dress?
Yeah, I believe one of the groomsmen was Laz from Color Ridge, I'm pretty sure.
He has to be. Even if he wasn't, he's an honorary.
Every wedding there, he's a groomsman.
Yeah, he should have been officiating.
All of them were Laz's from Cutler Ridge. All of
Laz
them.
Laz 1, Laz 2.
They will
two.
Be all the pallbearers as well many years from now. We'll all be Laz's.
Everybody on the message board got an invite.
40 Laz's and an Armando.
Part of the nuptials, everyone fired Blake James.
All the bridesmaids were Cottle. Stugatz, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Dan, during the Ravens game in the first half, a fan attempted to climb into the radio booth looking for a drink. The announcer said, "What are you doing?"
Oh, that scene though, that seemed like I don't know whether that was alcoholism or merely just out of control drunkenness. One of them is funny, the other is sad.
It was like a "What are you doing?" and then there was like 30 seconds of just like awkward, like, "Oh, they're obviously dealing with this." And then they're like, "By the way, that 'What are you doing?' you heard, they were not talking to the players. They were talking to a woman who was looking for a drink in our booth."
We do not have the sound from ESPN to play Mike Leach during or after a game, but he won by a bunch of points. And Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach are going to be interesting personalities, and it's going to be interesting to watch their teams in that sport. But he was talking about Halloween candy, and he meandered and he yammered, and it seemed like he'd been waiting for that question all his life. But that will not be my selection. We somehow went, and I can't believe this happened today, this entire show without talking about that Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard kerfuffle. Oh, wow. Is it a kerfuffle?
We alluded to it.
What is it? It's a brouhaha?
Yeah, we alluded to it in the hotly contested George Mikan debate at the local hour.
Disrespect. I mean, what you guys did to Mikan today.
I brandished a knife by the water cooler.
It was really strange. You became you drop kicked a person.
Well, like you know what? You know what happened is you all learned that George Mikan spent most of his career in the 30s from field goal.
Yes, field goal percentage in the 30s, but it was strange, though, the amount of passion that you
took. Well, I thought leaving Dwight Howard off the top 75 players was strange.
But there is a strange thing with Dwight Howard where there is a lack of likability that people punish him for. And you guys were talking about Big and Shaq and how big he is. I want you to understand, Dwight Howard, I've told you guys the story of Dwight Howard shirtless walking out of the locker room is very impressive. Can park a motorcycle on his shoulders. Anthony Davis gave him like a bit of an armpit nipple punch and he sat down. Dwight Howard, a very large, very strong man, was jostled by Anthony Davis in the nipple area and just immediately collapsed, folded up. And that's two games in the Lakers season. This is Dwight Howard's third time on the Lakers. Third time.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. It's his third time because
it's his third time.
Remember,
yes.
Kobe tried to recruit him. Like, he went there with Nash, and then he re-signed, won a championship.
It's his
and then
third
he announced
year.
That he was re-signing, but then he ended up with the Sixers. So this is the third go-around.
Mm-hmm. How have we not talked more about, because we love the kerfuffle, Magic Johnson on his Twitter account, 42 years. I've never seen anything like this.
It was an SMH from Magic Johnson. I thought Dwight did decent in trying to defuse that situation. I don't know what led to it, but yeah, the Lakers, it's early. I know they won last night, but it seems like maybe we were right talking about their offseason. I don't know if you saw the Rondo thing too. I'm not sure what the fans said that made Rajon Rondo put a finger gun in his face.
Well, he was also, wasn't he calling security already before that, trying to get that person ejected before the finger gun was put in the face? And then that person hit his hand.
Yeah, look, whatever that fan said, if Rondo felt like that fan crossed the line, fans shouldn't do that. You have to subscribe to a certain amount of behavior. But I think the same goes for the players. Don't put your finger in someone's face as a finger gun. It's not great optics. And I know Doris Burke piled on the fan there. Don't put your hands in anyone's face like that. You're lucky all that happened was your hand got swatted away.
Yeah. That took a dark turn. We were doing funniest thing. There was
let me
the
ask
music.
You something. Let me ask you something, Dan. If you feel like maybe you said Rondo, you stink. Whatever, just normal fan banter, and whatever. Rondo's frustrated with how his season's gone so far. It was a fight on the bench. Rondo sticks his hands in your face. I'd take the odds.
A lot of people would knock his hand out of their face.
You
if
had
it was
two
a
tequilas.
Finger, if a finger gun was in their face, I mean, look, I'm not going to turn this into a players or don't touch the fans. No, I
just don't do that.
It doesn't matter to me even who it's on. That situation could very easily escalate into something else. But I would like some more context there. And I was just having fun with the kerfuffle. I didn't want to turn it into a finger gun. fan violence story.
No, it bothered me because I saw that and I know how I'd react. Like, if I didn't do any, if I felt like I didn't cross the line, again, I have no idea what that fan said. It'd be really hard for me to take that, especially from a player like Rondo that I don't like. I don't take that from anybody. But don't probably put your hands in my face.
Probably matters, though, what was said, though.
Oh,
no.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But we don't know.
No, the fan could have said something rotten where I'm like, oh, you're lucky that all you got was a finger gun in your face. But just from what I've seen, the context, just what are you doing?
Do I have this wrong, though? I thought earlier what he was doing was pointing to a fan to show a security, hey, this is the guy. Was he not trying to get the fan ejected before saw, the finger gun made an appearance?
I'm absent that context. All I saw was the video of a finger gun going in a fan's face. What do you expect is going to happen there? What am I supposed to do as a fan? I'm just going to sit there with Rondo's finger gun in my face? Please move that finger gun.
Better than a nipple punch.
You're right.
The Athletic's Jovan Buha said that the fan and Rondo were, quote, exchanging words, and that he just wanted to get the guy out of the game. As to why he was making a finger gun at the fan, Rondo said, I was pointing at that guy. He said it wasn't his intention to make a finger gun.
Okay, Rondo, you're in the wrong. Boom.
It's going to be fun watching this team. Like, you want them to lose because they'll implode.
Yeah, Rondo's not likable.
No. Oh, but they'll make 40 trades, too. Like, they might implode, but they're going to make... LeBron's not going to have a season where they're going to just be, like, 2-14.
They're out of the playoffs right now.
Yeah. I mean, they are going to make 40 trades, down. But the young guys are gone. Who do you trade? They tried to pawn Kuzma off for many years.
Kuzma delighted. He deleted the post, unfortunately. He put up on Instagram, Lakers, well, he was retweeting or just putting out there somebody else saying, Lakers 0-7 without Kyle Kuzma.
But damn, Mike is right. It's the most untradeable roster perhaps in the history of the NBA. Like, who on that team do you want?
I mean, besides LeBron. Anthony Davis. You'd want Davis.
They'll gas up Talen Horton Tucker, I guess. They always do that. They'll find one prospect and try to inflate them and make them a really great prospect. But I don't see it. I don't see how they get the piece that fixes everything. You think there's going to be a line to take Carmelo Anthony on into their books? I don't see how they make it work.
They already have the pieces that usually do fix everything, like Trevor Ariza. Those are the guys you're going to trade?
Kendrick Nunn. I have also, incidentally, something that I saw this weekend that I would love for one of you to give me the context for, because Steph Curry was a lot of fun this weekend, had a bunch of times where he's just scoring from all over the place. And I just saw one clip of Kevin Harlan yelling, screaming, Green is in a torture chamber. I'm introduced to the clip this way, and I don't know who Green is, and I don't know why he's in a torture chamber. And then Harlan just says, and Curry from outside, 3. And so then I went looking for why was Green in a torture chamber, who's Green. I guess it's Draymond Green, but Steph Curry had the ball. I started looking inevitably for Jeff Green somewhere on a roster, and then it led me down a rabbit hole of Jeff Green playing for 12 teams presently in Denver. And I just wanted to share that with you because I was just marveling at Jesus Christ, Jeff Green. I think it's 12. Maybe I was reading the internet wrong, but if I told you Jeff Green over under, how many teams has he played for? And did you know he was in Denver? Would you guys have known either of those things?
No. No and no.
Were you wondering at all where Jeff Green was? Is Tony still mad about the Iowa State call? Is he still enraged back there?
He's got a couple things, Dan, because if you remember on Sunday, we also shelved the conversation about juice that we never got to.
Dan, Hurts.
Well, Dan, the conversation about the juice, I mean, we could shelve it for another day because I know we're running long on this postgame, but I do want to shelve that because that's an important conversation. I do want to have it. But I'm still really pissed off about the Iowa State thing. Like, if I was Matt Campbell, I would have walked off the field. I would have taken the entire team, and I said, you know what? We're not playing anymore. That's it.
But then
we're
you
out.
Lose. But then you lose.
No, it's a principle thing, Chris. You don't understand.
How much did you have on the Cyclones?
An unholy amount. But that's not the point. They ended up winning.
It is the point.
Everybody was happy. But I would have walked off the field, Dan.
I mean, what were they doing? He taunted me. He taunted him with his eyes. Like, he was high-stepping, and he turned around. It was the weakest unsportsmanlike conduct call you will ever see in that sport.
We should all try to taunt each other with our eyes right now.
M- Mike.
It's good radio.
Mike, yeah. Mike,
I got you good. Mike, I got you good.
But what were you doing, Mike?
Tony, don't look at me like that.
You were just gyrating. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together, so head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.